And now, Ben Bailey.
Why else will belief alone, faith only, not save? It won't save because the passages people use to promote this doctrine don't actually teach it. Let's think about three of those passages. Probably the most familiar is Acts 2, verse 21. In Acts chapter 2, verse 21, Peter, quoting prophetically, quotes the prophet, and he says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now, someone says, well, do you deny that? Of course not. We're not denying that if you call on God's name, you're going to be saved. But what does that mean? Does that mean that the calling on the name of the Lord, does that mean all I've got to do is say, Jesus, I believe in Jesus, and I'm going to be saved? Let's let the Bible be its own best commentary here. What does the Bible say it means to call on the name of the Lord? Remember Saul's conversion? Notice Acts 22, verse 16. Ananias comes to him in Acts 22, verse 16, and he says, "Now why do you wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." Notice this now. Calling on the name of the Lord. How does the Bible tell me to call on the name of the Lord? Does it say all you've got to do is express faith in Jesus? That's not what it means to call on the name of the Lord. According to the Bible, in Acts 22, 16, it means that I get up, that I obey God in baptism, have my sins washed away, and that's how I call on the name of God. Well, what about another passage that's often misused? Probably one of the most well-known among religious people today. John 3:16. Notice these words. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." And so people come here and they say, well, look, God said, if you believe in Jesus, you're going to have eternal life. Question, does it say all you've got to do is believe? It's not what the text says. How do we understand John 3:16? First of all, we need to understand the context. In John chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, the background is the serpent that was raised up in the wilderness. You remember the context. The people of God had begun to murmur and complain. God sent fiery serpents in among them. They were biting the people. The people were dying. They cry out to God. Moses, on their behalf, approaches God. And God says, here's what you do to provide salvation. You erect a serpent on a pole, place it in the middle of the camp. Anyone who is bitten must stop what he's doing, find that serpent, physically go to it and look at it, and that person will be saved. In the same way, John uses that example and says, even so, the Son of Man was lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, in the context of Numbers, where that serpent occurs, the moment they believe, were they saved? Well, let's think about it. Serpent bites someone. He knows what God has said, and he sits there and he says, I believe I'll be saved. Is he going to be saved at that point? He believes. That's all he's got. Will he be saved? No. Not until he physically locates that serpent and looks at it is he saved. There were acts he had to do, things required by God, not just the moment he believed that that serpent would save, was he saved. He had to do things that God commanded. That's the context of the Bible. In fact, the word belief never means just mental acceptance alone. It is the obedience of faith. Romans 1:5, Romans 16:26 that saves people. Well, what about Romans 10:9-10? I hear people often talk about the Roman road to salvation. Notice the words of Romans 10:9-10. The Bible says, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now again, we're not doubting that belief is a step in God's plan of salvation. But is belief alone all there is? Well, Romans 10:9 doesn't even teach that. If you believe and confess, there's another step. It can't be belief alone. And you've got to take what the rest of the Bible and the rest of the book of Romans says. Think about Romans 6:1-4. This is essential, isn't it? Notice what Paul says here. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How can we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. What else is essential in the book of Romans? If I'm going to contact the death of Christ, be buried with him, and rise to a new life, Romans also teaches I must be baptized. And so the passages people often use don't teach that faith alone is all I've got to have. And not only that, but in Scripture, a saving faith is always a faith that demands action. For example, in John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus clearly taught. Here are some New Testament examples. In John 14, verse 15, Jesus clearly taught that if a person is going to please him, he must have an active faith. Notice the words of Jesus. Jesus clearly said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, to say I love Jesus is not enough. Anybody can say that. What's Jesus saying? If you really love me, what are you going to do? You're going to keep my commandments. Think about the 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17. They came to Jesus crying out and imploring him to heal them. And here's what Jesus said. Go, show yourself to the priest, make the offering, and you will be healed. Now remember, just one of those came back. But had they not gone to the priest, had they not made the required offering of the old law, would they have been saved? Let's say they believed Jesus, and yet they never did anything. Would they be saved? Absolutely not. And so there are clear examples in the Bible of people who weren't saved until they did all that God said. And friend, that's the key to it all. Listen carefully. The problem with faith alone is it doesn't factor all of what God says concerning salvation. It's like trying to look at a painting by looking at one spot on that painting. It's like trying to read a novel and opening to one chapter and just getting part of it. It doesn't take into account all God says, and the Bible teaches we must. For example, Psalm 119:160 says this, "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous commandments endures forever." How much of God's word is truth? Bits and pieces, what I like and what I don't like? No, the entirety. I've got to take all of what God says. And friend, it is essential that I obey God's word in its entirety. Luke 6:46, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9 clearly says, Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. And I want you to think about faith alone in view of Matthew 7, verse 21. If there were ever a clear passage that shows faith alone won't save, this is it. Look at the words of Jesus, Matthew 7, verse 21. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." It's not everybody who just looks up and says, "Lord, Lord, I believe in Jesus." Jesus said, no, no. That's not the person who'll be saved, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. You know, faith only leaves out so much. It's like this. It's like trying to bake a cake or make fill a recipe without using all the ingredients. For example, let's say we're going to make a cake. And on the bottom half of one page, you've got recipes, ingredients. And on the top half of one page, you have other ingredients. Here's what faith alone is like. Let's say that on the bottom of that page it says add flour and eggs and salt. And you say, well, okay, I'm going to do that. And you mix all that together and you throw it in the oven. Are you going to get something you'd want? Is that going to be a very good tasting cake? Well, you forgot that on the top part of that page it said add spices, add sugar, and so forth. It's like taking just part of what God says. You haven't taken all of what the Bible says. You haven't put it all together to see what Scripture teaches concerning salvation. Well, let's do that. What are all of God's conditions for salvation? First, a person must hear the Word of God. Now, I know hearing is essential because faith is essential. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, whatever way by which I get faith is also essential. How do I get faith? Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I have to hear, listen to the Word of God to be saved. Psalm 95 verse 7 says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion. And by hearing the Word of God, we mean, the Bible means, we've got to accept this as God's inspired Word, the only authority on all matters relating to God and salvation. Only thing I'm accountable for on the day of judgment is this book. Jesus said, he rejects me and does not receive my word has that which judges him, the words that I've spoken. Once I've heard the word of God, then I must believe in Jesus. Again, we're not denying belief. Jesus said, unless you believe that I'm he, you'll surely die in your sins. But remember, James 2:24 says, we're not justified by faith alone. What else must I do? I also must repent. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, Jesus said, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Acts 3, verse 19, Peter proclaimed, repent and turn again, that your sins must be blotted out. And so I hear the word, I must believe in Jesus, I must repent, I also must confess. Romans 10, verse 10, the Bible says, with the heart, with the mind, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Remember Jesus' words in Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33? Jesus said, if you don't confess me before men, neither will I confess you before my Father who is in heaven. And so once I confess, then I also must be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins. The Bible clearly teaches that you cannot have your sin removed and you cannot be saved before baptism. Notice the words of Acts 2:38. Here is such a clear statement from the Word of God. The Bible says, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What must I do to have forgiveness of sin? I must be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Acts 22:16 again makes it abundantly clear that's the point, sins are washed away. Saul was told, arise and be baptized, listen, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now look at what Jesus said. Jesus made it so clear in Mark 16, verse 16. He said this, Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. Yes, you've got to believe, and if you don't believe, you're not even a candidate to be baptized, be saved. But, notice, he who believes, and Jesus conjoins this, and is baptized, will be saved. Question, does baptism come before or after salvation in that verse? It's clear. Baptism is before salvation, according to the words of Jesus. Think about 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism does now also save us. Baptism is something I must do to be saved. People all the time say, baptism doesn't save. That is blatant error. And the Scripture explicitly says, baptism does now also, combined with hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, baptism is essential to salvation. Now remember John 3:16? But what about a few verses before that? Do you know what Jesus said there? Unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I've got to be baptized also to get into God's kingdom. And so will faith alone save? Listen carefully. If you've bought into the idea that all you had to do was believe in Jesus, friend, may we kindly say to you today, the Bible says you are not justified, you are not saved, you're still lost. But the good news is you can be saved, and more than anything, we want you to be saved and God wants you to go to heaven. Won't you obey God's plan of salvation today?